What's number two?
Say you want my coat.
Have you played that one?
No.
Really? Nice. There's Michelle. Hey, how's everybody doing? Boy, people are hopping on quick this time. David Fish asked me, guys, why I sanitize my hands when I'm in my own house at the beginning of everything. And I'm one of those people that's kind of like habitual. I do real well as long as I do things the exact same, and so it's habit forming. So that's the deal. I sit down here. I have my things that I do every single time. But I get that it seems kind of silly. Not to mention, like, sometimes if you watch me do it, I'll touch my face and grab a Zen and then sanitize my hands after I've done all that, which doesn't make any sense. But it's just how I do it. Catherine Hill, Dave Barnes. So, guys, we get to see Silas, and we'll talk about, Dave Barnes had an interesting one, that pull-out camping and stuff. We'll chat about that, and then also I'll kind of recap on the Azalea Fest. I was kind of perusing Facebook today and saw quite a bit on there about Azalea Fest and different, different opinions, different claims and stuff too. So I'll try to chat about that a little bit. And just real quick, I know this isn't going to mean something to a lot of you folks, but if I got this anonymous letter, and if that was from you, I want you to know that I read it, and it mentions my videos in here, so I know that you must watch at least some of them. So I want you to know that I read it, and there's some things in there that I agree with, and I don't know exactly what the reason was to send it to me anonymously. Obviously you can keep sending me stuff anonymously, but if you're thinking that maybe if I knew who it was from that I wouldn't read it, that isn't true, so... I read pretty much anything that anyone gives to me, even if it's somebody that, that I wouldn't necessarily support or something. All right, you guys want to hear Silas, song number one? Hey, Billy Davis, how's it going? And Jane Opiate, too, hopped on quick. Jane, I usually don't see you till afterwards. You ready, cowboy? All right, listen to old Half Pint here, play a little tunage.
Okay. So, the first song that I'm going to play is by AJR. I know a couple of their songs. I heard like the first verse of the song, and immediately I knew what I wanted to play the song. And it took me a little while to learn it. It was really hard. And I still don't... I can't quite play it on my big guitar yet, so I need to play it on my little one. But, yeah. It's called Dear Winter by AJR. Dear Winter, dear Winter, I hope you like your name. I hope they don't make fun of you when you grow up and go to school, okay? Cause winter is a real cool name. Dear Winter, I hope you talk to girls or boys or anyone you like. I just hope that you don't stay out every night. Cause I wish I was out tonight. Seem like there's anyone for me, but dear winter, I hope you like your name. I'm hoping that someday I'll get to meet you on this earth. I gotta meet your mom first. Dear winter, I hope you like the song. And even when you're 13 and you scream at me for parenting you wrong, it's still a real cool song. Oh, it really doesn't seem like there's anyone for me. But dear winter, I hope you like your name. I know I cannot wait to teach you how to curse. But man, I gotta meet your mom first. Dear winter, don't move too far away. Please don't say I'm hovering when I text and ask about your day. Cause I wanna know about your day. Dear winter, I hope you like your name. I hope that someday I get to meet you on this earth. But man, I gotta meet your mom first.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. Dude, you bring the crowd on Sundays. I saw Dave. Yeah, there's Dave Houston's picture up there. Dave's... So my mother-in-law turned 60 years old, and my wife posted a picture of her on her timeline wishing her happy birthday, and Dave Houston had a pretty good gif on there. You know, she, I first met the family when I was in junior high school, and I just heard my wife take a deep breath. Sorry, babe. Sorry. I'll leave it alone. So let's chat about Dave Barnes brought up the subject of camping at turnouts and stuff on 101 and asked for my thoughts. I looked through that the presentation there and kind of got what the person's chatting about there. So my first thought was that, you know, I'm between Brookings and Port Orford on a weekly basis, sometimes every other day, especially between Brookings and Gold Beach. And although, like, I've seen plenty of times, you know, where an RV or something is pulled onto a turnout and they're kind of like, they're half set up, so I know that they're not just stopped there for 10 minutes, and they're actually hanging out there for a bit. But I haven't seen it or noticed it as a big issue, as something that really needs to be rectified. So I could be wrong about that. Some of the pictures that, I don't remember the name of the person that was doing the complaining, but I see some of their pictures, and it, you know, it shows multiple units and numerous people there. So I could be wrong. It could be a much more prevalent thing than what I know of and what I see. But man, it kind of seems like a non-issue to me. I mean, honestly, you know, the thing right now, you have like Harris Beach State Park is by invitation only, and it's just, it's not always easy to find a spot, and you have these, you know, we have this this highway, this coastal highway, and turnout after turnout. I'm not surprised that people would pull in there and stay the night or stay, you know, 8-10 hours and sleep. So I don't know. I've learned over time. I kind of figured out that it's risky. It's risky coming up with a policy or passing new ordinances or things because of the complaint of one or even just a relatively few amount of people that can, you know, something can be made into a much bigger deal than what it is. and kind of create some fervor about it and get people, you know, and have the ears of elected leaders and those elected leaders can kind of like hop on that train to get something done. And then 4 or 5 months down the road, you know, you kind of realize that it's really not an issue, but we're left with ordinances or laws on the books that end up affecting all of us after the fact. I'm trying to think of another example, but it's kind of escaping me. It's kind of escaping me right now. But I don't know, timing wise, man, it's a crazy year. It's a crazy year, right? So it seems like a non-issue. It seems like a non-issue. The sanitary concerns too, that, you know, the assumption that most of those units and RVs and stuff don't have black water sanitary capabilities. I don't know where you would get that. I don't know. That, and the idea of driving around and trying to, you know, not wanting to let a single dollar drive by, not wanting to lose out on $1. That's a risky thing. And when you're looking for revenue, it's been my experience that some bad decisions can be made when that's really the crux of the matter. So I don't know. Yes, for my thoughts. I don't have a lot about it. I'll watch that workshop after it comes out and maybe chat about it again, but it just seems like with everything going on, like there's some actual big deals, you know, big issues that we're dealing with. It seems like a waste to me. And then of course you mentioned those signs, you know, and the questioning even the legality of those signs that used to be on a lot of those pullouts. I questioned the same thing when I saw them start popping up, you know. Not to mention, it's a horrible show for people, you know, driving on that highway. I hated seeing them on every single pullout, you know, overnight prohibited, just big like 2x3 signs. So I don't know. We'll see what they do. I'll watch it. I just have not seen. Campers and things, you know, I haven't seen it to where it seems like a problem that needs to be fixed. Okay, so I don't know. Azalea Festival. Let's chat about the Azalea Festival. So, from my perspective of the Azalea Festival, what I saw during the parade, guys, there were actually more people than what I thought there would be. More people out on the street. But driving the whole, you know, driving the whole parade, I saw plenty of people wearing masks. There wasn't large congregations of people like there usually is. People were spread out. Typically that Chetco Ave and 5th Street, they're just crammed in there. Really crammed in there. And different areas of 101 being empty and people just congregating in one area. And so that was a concern of mine going in, knowing that if you're not wearing a mask, the idea of social distancing when you have children and other children around just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. So, but I was happy, guys, with the way the parade turned out. I really was. That whole time, seeing people spread out, a lot of people in masks. I saw the Facebook threads from, I don't want to mention him by name, but, you know, the mask police. And calling everybody out on it, and videos of that. In fact, my family was near there too and heard some of that, ruckus. Yeah, my wife just nodded, you know. And we just, are we gonna keep just ripping each other apart throughout this entire thing? Is that what we're gonna do? The answer seems to be yes, but, you know, I think probably one of the first times I was on here, and for weeks I just tried to keep beating the grace drum, because that, guys, that's what we need, grace and empathy for differing perspectives. The part of the Azalea Festival that I think is probably, or was probably the most risky, the kind of the vendor market area, you know, that, and that would be too what would draw tourists to stop and flock in there. So the ceremonial aspect of Azalea Festival at the park, there were very few people there, probably less than 75 in a big park. And and it was a good program, you know. The only there were some, you know, unmasked folks not keeping to the 6-foot distancing, you know, and that was unfortunate. But all in all, guys, I didn't see any issue with it at all. It didn't. This area in the city of Brookings has been swimming with tourists all of July. So it wasn't the Azalea Festival that brought a bunch of tourists to town. And the more I look at Facebook, it seems like people's opinions are polarized. And so you have starting from COVID is maybe not a hoax, but it's really not that big of a deal, to we're all going to die from COVID. And there's a whole bunch of ground in the middle. There's a whole bunch of ground in the middle. Okay. And I wish more of us would find our place closer to the middle. And what I believe to be more reasonable. So I have, you know, there's been plenty of times that I've been discouraged though, with the amount of folks that aren't taking COVID very seriously at all. And the protocol, like mask wearing and social distancing, that really just being something that is done begrudgingly. And you know, before this is all done, when our cases really start spiking, And we'll have our turn. It'll happen. We need to get behind the spirit of the thing, right? It's not just about donning a mask when people are looking or for a photo op. We need to be in the spirit of it. We got to figure it out and consciously make an effort to not spread sickness. And I don't know. I have a hard time understanding the reluctance of so many people to do that, to get into the actual spirit of it. So I don't know. And you know, I saw plenty of comments about the Azalea Festival and. And the inevitable spike of cases that will come afterwards, and the responsibility that the city of Brookings is going to have for those cases and having caused it, you know, having caused everything. So, I mean, we'll see. But calling, you know, just ripping on folks and you know, calling out idiots for putting on an Azalea Festival, and it's all about the money, and it's you know, the Azalea Festival is going to bring death with it, okay? So, even personally recognizing the seriousness of COVID, I can also recognize the fact that in mid-March, you know, the sky didn't end up falling. When transient lodging was opened back up, it didn't bring a huge wave of COVID cases, which I heard from plenty of folks that are the same folks saying that about the Azalea Festival. Okay. So, I don't know. It doesn't help just to rip on folks, so that doesn't help. And it wasn't about money for the city. It was about putting something on for the community that has been going on for 80 years and wanting to keep that alive and in some level of normalcy, you know, in life and for the community. So I think it was a successful event, successful as far as, you know, doing it in a manner that was as safe as it could be. So, I don't know. So what's interesting tonight, guys, is I'm not getting any comments. The only thing that's shown up on the feed is who's watching. And I'm sure someone's posted a comment by now, but I don't know. And then I see Michelle, and I want to say that I saw Diana Cooper was watching. So Michelle and Diana, I know we're trying to kind of hook up this week to chat about it. So I don't want to steal anybody's thunder or anything, but you know, basically some of the homeless, or I don't know if they're all the homeless camps out in the forest, but you know, a bunch of the camps got, you know, kind of taken out and people rousted out of the forest. And, I have to say that I understand the reason for not wanting camps in the forest, guys. And the last thing we need right now is a fire out there. So it's not the best place for them to be right now, but there have been many comments. Candace says, "Yeah," and they're not showing up on my deal. I'm gonna see if I can. I don't want to slow my video down by streaming this on two separate things here, but I'm going to see. Hang on, guys. Give me just a second to kind of catch up here. Yeah, here's some of them. So, you're right. You know, mask wearing outdoors is only an issue if you can't social distance, you know. But like for me and my kids, so we went this morning to Azalea Park for the church and Azalea Park thing. And obviously there's enough room there to be distanced, right? But I know my kids just don't. So my kids were all wearing masks even outside. But you're right though. If you can be outside and you know, have 6 feet apart from each other, there's no harm. The risk is not very great for that. So Now, let me see, you guys, if I can turn the comments on. I don't want to jack us up. That wasn't it. Yeah, well, I'm looking at them on my phone, guys. I'm hoping it doesn't slow my video down. Yeah, Anna Marie mentioned something that is Anna Marie mentioned something that's real unfortunate, in that there's probably people that would have liked to have gone to the Azalea Fest or the church service in the park, but when they witness irresponsible behavior of other people, they're just too afraid to show up, right? And so I knew that would happen. I saw it, and it's unfortunate. We should have enough care for each other to follow the rules to make other people comfortable. And it's too bad. Even at the church service today, I was surprised to find out that some even told my kids that there was no reason for them to need to wear a mask, you know. And I don't know. When it gets real for people individually, all of a sudden things are going to change. And it's unfortunate that something needs to get to that point before someone goes, oh, I guess COVID is real. But it's a reality. It's a reality of where we are. Hey, Silas. Lower me, get Silas for me. Silas, do you want to play another song? And I'm going to try to fix the comments on this thing so I can see. So back to... Dana Cooper and Michelle. So homeless folks get rousted out of the woods, right? So where are they supposed to go? And as a community, where do we want them to go? So we're going to meet and chat about it. But for anyone that cares about the homeless, you need to realize that if there was a spot inside of the city that was proposed to be a even a temporary camp, you know, which is perfectly plausible and likely what's, you know, likely that is the needed outcome, is that they're going to need a place inside of the city to camp. The thing is with that is everyone needs to realize that's not going to be this super short process. That's not the nature of it. And I don't speak for the city council, but I can pretty much guarantee you that there's not going to be an action taken from the city council to allow something like that until it goes through and gets vetted through the public process. And that public process can take a while. It can really take a while. Things can happen a lot quicker when there's very limited opposition to it. And limited opposition would be if there was a spot, a piece of ground that wasn't near other residences. So if there was a place in the county, or even just kind of on the outskirts of city limits, where there's not a lot of homes, that's a place where we could see something like that happen a lot quicker. But Diana, because I know, you know, you're heading up the homeless task force, which I apologize for missing the meeting. I was working up in Gold Beach, but I do appreciate the good note taking. You know, even if you don't have a spot figured out, just to get the public conversation going, the official public conversation going, Diana, You could do a scheduled public appearance at our next council meeting, and you could get that real easy just by calling Amber Knowles at the city and be put on the agenda. You can obviously, I mean, anyone can come and give 5 minute public comment time, but you don't get much feedback from the council that way. If you do a scheduled public appearance, even if it's nothing more than bringing the information forward that you've already sent to me and you've already put on Facebook, and just express what's happening to the city council, and you tell us that there's, I don't remember what you said, 30 or 40 people or something that have suddenly been displaced from their normal camp out in the woods, and they're into the city, and put the, you know, put a bug in our ear, and so it'll give a chance for counselors to start thinking about it, and get the word out there and for the public, so they can start chatting about it too. That would be a good. I thought about that 30 minutes or so ago. You know, even just to start it, even without all of your ducks in a row, just to come and implore the city's help, ask for our help with this. Okay, you want to play another song?
Yeah.
All right. Sal's gonna play again. I'm gonna try to fix the comments, guys, on my tablet, so I can communicate with you a little better.
This next one that I'm going to play is one that I have known for a little while, and I haven't played it yet. I don't know why, honestly. It's called Say You Won't Let Go by, I think it's James Arthur or something.
Always there for me when I needed you most. I'm gonna love you till my lungs give out. I promise till death we part, just like in our vows. So I wrote this song for you, now everybody knows. Cause it's just you and me and two great notes. Just say you won't let go. Say you won't let go. Say you won't let go. Say you won't let go.
Thank you.
I was pushing the limits there. Yeah, that was good, man. That's all right. It's okay to hurt. Candy Berry says that lower range is phenomenal. That's you, buddy. Oh, that kid, he's a good one. He played today at that church service too. So Diana, tell the council I asked 100 of my friends and they all loved it. LOL, I know that's a little jab at the council. I don't mind little jabs at council, but it's a pitfall that we all fall in. I fall into that. Oftentimes we assume that as long as our circle of friends, like you said, I asked 100 of my friends and they all think it's a great idea. And I'm the same way, and people that come and chat with the council that are passionate about something, they usually really feel like they're representing the majority of the people around. And I found that it's just often not the case. So, make no mistake, if there's some sort of like homeless camping area or something like that, it'll be met with pretty severe opposition, and it's something that's going to have to be worked through. I honestly believe, I know people have horror stories about tent cities, but I think that it wouldn't be as bad as what a lot of people think that it would be. You know, I think something on a temporary basis just to show the community that it actually can kind of work, you know? And the fact is, so when I talk to people about it, I posed the issue like this, is that, you know, you have these people, they're here in the community. They're not going to leave. We can't make them leave. They're here. They're going to stay here. And so where would you like them to be? Would we like them to be scattered around, hiding in different bushes, camping on private property, and making a dozen little hidden homeless camps around town that once every, you know, 6 months or something, we have to go in and haul, you know, dump trucks full of garbage out? Or, you know, or would it be better to let them stay in one area that has facilities in it, you know, porter potties and trash facilities and stuff like that? I would rather that. I would rather them have a centralized area that services can be provided to them right there, and instead of them being scattered around. So that's the thing. That's the realization that many in this community are going to have to come to. So it's perfectly doable. It's perfectly doable. So come to city council and start chatting, you know, just get the conversation going, and it's perfectly okay for you to point your finger a little bit and at the city, because I know other cities. Anna Marie Curtis mentioned this in a comment that, you know, other cities have already hopped on something to do something during COVID time for homeless, to give them a temporary camping spot, you know. So we'll get there, I suppose. Okay, guys, that's about it for me, and I hope you guys enjoyed the weekend. It's tough, man. It's tough times. I know. I know it is. It's tough. It's tough on all of us. But I will see your smiling faces again Tuesday at 6 o'clock. And until then, you know, continue to shoot me private messages if you like, for things you want me to chat about, you know, or whatever. And I mentioned it before, but I'm starting this coming week. I'm starting KCIW interviews with Candace, so that'll be interesting too. Okay, guys, happy Sunday. Have a good night.